Hello, welcome back. It is episode 10 in air quotes for this one. We're gonna circle back to that theme a little bit later on. But we're back for a bit of a Nats recap and a somewhat festively orientated quiz to let us see out the year. So I'm back with the usual cast. I'm John, also known as Binary Dogs. I'm back with Mike P. Say hello, Mike.
Hello.
And Chris Nehemiah Dyer, say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
And Alex Vinegary Wink White. How's it going,
Hello.
Alex?
It's good. Good to be back again.
Awesome. And Don, also known as Echo, say hello, Don.
Hey.
Awesome. It's episode 10, part two, should we call it? Mainly for some very weak theming around the quiz I've got planned for the cast later on. But until we get to that, we're going to talk a little bit about UK Nationals first. It's been a while. So I think when we spoke to you last, it was the fallout from Nottingham CO back in August, and we sort of gathered for Mike's birthday and had an impromptu CO at the same time. But yeah, it's the big one. It's sort of the jewel in the crown of the UK season, UK Nationals in Sheffield, and it was awesome again. And we had a lovely time. And a pretty successful time as well, I think, overall. I think everyone would agree. So, where do we want to start? Do we want to talk about precedent of servers? Do we just want to jump into the main event? Do we want to talk about testing first? Who wants to lead us in?
I'd like to thank NSG for organising Worlds a month before Nats so that we could just lift decks wholesale rather than have to make anything ourselves.
Yeah, that was quite convenient. Although no one really solved runner for us, so we
No,
did
I
have to
think
do
this
some work.
might have been the least prepared we've ever been going into a Nationals, which, yeah, as you say, Chris, given that Worlds was just before, is wild how unconfident we were.
It's not even that we weren't confident, right? It's that we hated every runner we tried. Didn't like a single one of them.
I think part of that is that from Worlds, we were still in a pretty open meta. Nothing really precipitated out, like, statistically from Worlds. There were good decks, there were bad decks, but the number of good decks is pretty high. So it was kind of impossible to predict, but, this is the exact pair of runner and corp you should be on.
Yeah, and there was loads of data from Worlds that if you were keen enough, you could get your hands on. And all of it showed that Corp was miles up, that MBN Corps were really good, and then runners were rubbish unless you were on deep dive, which we found out like a week before Nats, and then couldn't find a deep dive deck that we liked either, so that didn't really help at all.
Yeah, we almost got to the lat deck that a bunch of people played into the cut. I played a version that I still really don't like in present of servers and just fell out with it badly. But I think if we'd had sort of maybe another few days, we might have got to the same point that like half of the Midlands and Norwich and Cambridge metas all seem to have arrived at that lat's good. But we didn't quite get there, so we had to play a 5-year-old Anarch deck instead.
The problem is, we had a 4-game testing sample, which was you at present service. That was all our data.
We did come close to playing Loop at one point, right? In the
Had we
the
all
very
had the
late hours.
cards, and had we drunk more, perhaps?
Yeah.
Loop is
It was
interesting,
a
right?
yeah.
Because
Go.
it's a variation of mulch, and it seems to have the highest ceiling of any runner deck we looked at by miles. Like, if your matchup is not actively bad because it's ob, and you draw kind of at least okay-ish, then the game state you reach is absurd. It's more powerful than anything that any other runner does. But the problem is the lows of that deck are so low. I don't think you can even play against ob.
I've become obsessed with that deck since Nationals and have played loads of it on JNet. But I need to take it to a tournament and get absolutely smashed by good decks because it ruins JNet decks. You just can't lose. When you imp a bacterial reprogramming, they just like stop because their deck doesn't do anything, like if you don't steal it. So yeah, like Infinite Imp is very good against a lot of decks. But yeah, the more people want to play fair Netrunner against you, the worse it gets. So like PD and Ob, if Ob can be called fair, but it's sort of trying to win in a fair way, I guess.
And this is basically the problem we found, right? The Corp meta, the corpse space is so wide and pulls you in such different directions that you effectively have to have infinite money on tap or infinite imps to deal with all the NBN decks, and a lot of click efficient stuff to be able to check all the remotes and do all the tags and everything else. And then you also have to be able to challenge a remote that's hard gear checks and has been built in about four turns out of Orb or PD. And it's really, really hard to do both of those. It would look almost impossible.
Yeah, I think it was pretty telling that when we sat down on sort of Friday night after President of Servers, that even though I think most of us had already decided at that point that we were all going to play R+, that if you'd stood up and said, actually, I'm going to play Orb now, no one would have backed an eyelid because the deck was good. Like, there was
I
so much choice.
Play Orb, so yeah.
Well, there you go, right? See, the choice was always really free and easy on Corp, but I've never played so many runner games in the run up to a tournament before without playing really any Corp games at all and having no clue at all. Just everything was awful. I smashed 30-40 games of Arisana in a desperate attempt to find any sort of shaper that would work and couldn't. Props to anybody that pilots Arisana effectively, because I can't.
So I think we ended up making, at least, I can't remember if we all ended up on exactly the same Hashiko list, or basically the same Hashiko list. but I think we ended up making the, like, house-style decision of taking the deck that we thought was, like, 45% against every Corp and maybe okay, rather than having some, maybe either the foolhardiness or the guts to go for something like Loop, where you're saying, like, this is going to crush a bunch of decks, and also maybe round one I just roulette into a horrendous matchup.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got paired up against Chris in the last round of President of Servers, and I was playing R+ for a bit of warm-up, and I don't know if it was just sheer desperation at the runner situation, but I was only about 5 or 6 turns into the game, and I already decided that I wanted to play Chris's runner deck for the following day, just simply because he career fared out an Earthrise Hotel on like turn 2.
It's so good when you do that.
That's truly offended by drawing 3 cards at the start of every turn. Click listy seemed insane. So yeah, it's not Hollywood, but I wouldn't expect anyone would think that we'd bring out a particularly Hollywood deck list. But it's super efficient, that deck. When you get rolling on it, it really is.
Yeah, and the bonus is that you beat all sorts of nonsense in Swiss. Like, like Mike says, you can play against anything, and if you're not playing against one of like the 4 real decks, which is like R+, Orb, PD, and maybe kind of RH-ish, then you beat everything else quite comfortably, because that's what Anarch has been good at for ages, is beating random stuff.
Yeah, it's super comfortable. It's very easy to pilot, especially if you've been playing any sort of Anarch for the last 2 years. You know nothing's going to jump out at you. Difficult decisions, unlike Mulch, maybe, which is seems a lot. It's a lot of piloting practice and leaves you with a lot of difficult decision points, I think, through the game. So we won't dwell on the different cards I took.
No, it didn't really show up for UK Nats, but would you have rated that deck's match up into the big BTL list?
No,
not
at all.
I'd rather have been that than some of the other options. I'd rather be that than Criminal, but I think we were just ignoring BTL on the basis that one or two people max were going to play it.
Yeah, I think if you wanted to tune for the BTL, like, we definitely wouldn't have turned the Leech into an Ice Carver, for example, because then, like, I don't think our list can ever really break a couple of big barriers on the scale that a BTL deck can do. But yeah, like, from POS onwards, I think we were reasonably hopeful, and in the end, correct, that no one was going to play BTL. Because, like, the other sort of big running theme for Nationals as a whole was just how slow every matchup was, partly because of the Corpse and partly because people were playing quite cautiously. Like, John, when we played in the last round, we played a single game because we were in 2-for-1 town, and our game went on for like 55 minutes, and that didn't seem that much slower than most other games. And I think if you'd opted to take BTL instead of R+, you'd be opting in for like unfinishable games.
It is a super punishing meta for runners at high levels, I think. If you're playing against good players with good decks, if you make a significant mistake, you will just lose. And if you make too many tiny kind of misevaluations or miscalculations that aren't even really mistakes but are just inefficiencies, you will also like almost certainly lose or struggle badly. And that leads to runners having to play very precisely and very cautiously, and that, I think that's why games are slow.
Yeah, I saw some people discussing this in Slack, I think in the fallout after for Nationals, and comments that not necessarily people were playing slow but were more deliberate in the time they were taking per turn than in the past, when maybe some of these decisions would have been automatic for you, because if you make one small mistake, it can really spiral out of control for you on the runner side. But yeah, I think all of the games through Swiss and the Cup were very difficult anyway. Yes. The level of play seems to get higher every time I go to Nationals. Every year seems more and more difficult, which is a good shout out. And I met a lot of, I think we discussed this as well at some point, a lot of new players or players, this was their first Nationals, that were doing extremely well. And I certainly wouldn't have been capable of that performance on my first Nationals, I think. My first big tournament. No.
A few people said this to me over the weekend. Ben, or Kikai most notably, said that these new players who haven't been playing for long just don't make mistakes. They play at a really high level already, despite not having kind of the experience or having ground fundamentals into themselves for 1,000 games on JNet. But you don't get any free games at these tournaments anymore. You have to actively win every game, and that hasn't always been the case.
Not to be a heel, but I definitely may have played against some new people where I got fairly simple wins. But, you know, it does still happen. But I think it's more just there's a lot of people who started in the last year or two and have already really leveled up their play. I don't know if there's a reason for that compared to older metas or anything. Is it just because everyone plays online now, so you can just grind JNet all the time? Is that why?
I think you've got access to JNet games give you quantity, but I think there's been enough high quality tournament games between stuff like AMT and on other online tournaments, like there's online nationals, there's online continentals, that even if you're not traveling to many tournaments because there aren't a huge number, you can still play high quality skill testing games and learn from them online. I don't think you've always been able to do that, certainly not before the NSG era.
There's also been, I guess, like a distillation of players. There are fewer people playing now than there were 5 years ago. If you turn up to a weekly meetup in the UK, there is a relatively high chance that like one of the four people you're going to play against is like a world's top 16 player from some point in the past, just because the numbers are lower, but a lot of those people are still around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's actually probably true.
It's
like a lot of the new players that I did meet, actually, when you ask who they play with, who their local meta is, and then you hear names and you go, oh yeah, okay, you play weekly, fortnightly, monthly against some people who have been in the game for a long time and absolutely know what they're doing and compete at a high level. So it does make sense that people who are going out to meetups are also getting good pretty quick.
And then access to Liz was also very good at this tournament, obviously, because you've got Worlds, but also those groups seems to have shared lists very effectively. And there's lots of cross-pollination between testing groups and their local metas and stuff like that, that I think means that almost everybody, if they wanted it, had access to a tuned deck that they could have confidence in.
Which is great. No, that's awesome. I mean, yeah. Do you think there's more testing groups?
Yeah.
That seemed to be my instant reaction when I started looking at people publishing lists afterwards. I was like, there's so many. And I obviously chatting to people at the weekend as well, there seemed to be so many that were in groups, be they semi-organized or like just part of their regular meetup or whatever, which I thought was very cool that there's more of that going on. people trying to shape and tune decks as a team, which was great fun.
Yeah, as long as they have access, it's hard, right? As a small group, which a lot of these groups are, they're like half a dozen people or so. You can't necessarily find all the lists to begin with in that situation. So going to something like Worlds, where it's a brand new meta, that's very difficult. You just don't have the time or the resources to chase down all the possible lists to make decks. But in a meta like this one, where you've then got all those Worlds lists, six people is plenty to take them, tune them, make the changes, and kind of do the meta work to try and work out which ones are best placed. So it won't work in every meta, but I think Nats was really well placed for that sort of kind of small nuclear group to do really well.
Cool. All right, so I think we've talked about the meta and sort of the deck lists and stuff. We said we did reasonably well, which we did. I think pretty much all of us were in the top half at the end of day one. Sadly, I had to 2-for-1 with Mike in round 7, which inevitably seems to be the case a lot of the time as you start to cannibalise yourself. Me and Chris Ferguson, who couldn't make it this evening, and Chris all managed to make it through to top 16. So we did all right there. And then did someone bobble out as well? We were very close. Like,
Seamus bobbled out, yeah.
Right.
Well, no,
yeah.
Seamus lost a 2-for-1, sorry.
Okay.
I ended up on 22nd in the end, I believe. And yeah. Various reasons, including the line of text on calibration testing that I'd never read before.
Somebody has to get game loss every tournament.
It says you get a game loss if you install this on HQ. That's what it says. So yeah,
weird thing to print on a card, but there you go.
Yeah.
Why does it need to say this? Who knows?
Flavor, because it's remote or offsite or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's offsite. Gotta remember, offsite. You can't have people placing advancement counters on cards in HQ. So.
We should talk about the R+ deck briefly, right? Because although we didn't really like the runner decks, we did really like R+.
Yeah, that's fair. We sort of skipped over it, I think, because it felt like Corp was an almost automatic choice. But not necessarily the case, I suppose, given the availability of Corp decks. And this was an adaptation of Pincel's deck. So we did put work into this.
Yeah, the sort of the big innovation here, the B1001s and the slight shift around in the Wincon, initially came from Cable Carnage, from Dan, who suggested it very, very quickly after the Canale Plus list got published after Worlds. He's been a big advocate of B1001 and R+ for quite a while, and that list came out. I think we all looked at it and said, this looks a lot better than the NEH version, this looks cool.
Yeah.
And then Dan posted, hey, what if you play B1001 in this? And then we all sort of at various times just played a couple of games with the list and went, yeah, this seems like a horrible mess. This.
It's interesting, right? Because coming out of Worlds, we'd have put money on playing Kill NEH, I think, and that's and quite a lot of it, because the numbers that put up were ridiculous at Worlds.
Yeah,
really, really dominant. Right? Yeah, by far the best corp on all the data. But then we all fell off it like over the next couple of weeks, because everybody seemed to be heavily teched against it, and all the games against it were horrendously complicated. Like, they runners who knew what they were doing took ages to die, and even if they died, it took them days and days and days.
Do you think that the R+ list in the form that you were playing it at Nats is more resilient than that list to people both teching and learning the matchup?
Yeah. I think by a lot.
The NEH list, some of the tech you can play against it, and even some of the things you might just incidentally play against it, like, I don't know, Stoneship in LAT, which you play to get draw cards and fix your game against PD, like, with your ID, just incidentally completely destroy the NEH deck. Like, as soon as the runner has 6 or 7 hand size, you're like, I don't know how I can ever win this game. Whereas the R+, even against the heavily teched out runners that have everything, you can still often grind your way to a win by just smashing oppos on them with sort of the cheating econ advantage that R+ gives you. And in some of those games, like against Loop as well, like NEH, I think, just can never win if Loop gets set up, whereas R-Plus at least still has a world where you bounce the Nomkuri and are fine.
I think the other thing is NEH requires you to know very precise lines, and as always with a Corp, you can't make a mistake, but those lines don't vary that much from matchup to matchup. The kind of heuristics you take into each one is going to be very consistent, whereas R-Plus makes the runner make a bunch of situational decisions over and over again. And they're not ones that you can necessarily learn that much in advance. It all depends on the board state, on both sides, and the money totals, and all sorts of things. So I think it is harder to play against, even if you've practiced the matchup. Albeit NEH is probably better if you've never seen the deck before, and you're just going to get scrubbed in about five turns.
Yeah, I mean, having practiced a bit with NEH for Worlds, I'd say that it does make you do quite a lot of arithmetic.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't the only problem. Like, as you say, the lines themselves are complicated, but honestly, keeping track of exactly what you're doing to set up a kill potentially two or three turns in advance is, like, actually quite tough. Whereas, I don't want to oversimplify, but I'm guessing with the R plus list, even when you're firing Amani Sinai Traces, you're not planning on boosting very often. You just want to let it fire, drain runner's money, or bounce something.
Yeah. I think one of the great advantages of the R-Plus was it wasn't very hard to play. The floor of the deck is so, so high. It does stupid stuff so often that you don't have to play that hard or think that hard to really exploit it. A lot of the burden feels like it's on the runner's side, not the Corp side.
Yeah, it can dig itself out of surprising holes early as well. You can have a draw that feels particularly bad, and 5-6 turns deep, you can suddenly be in a situation where actually this is not too bad now. I've filtered some agendas away and my board's established and the runner's looking a bit poor and I've got a wage worker behind a piece of ice that they now don't want to trash.
Successfully resolved a single oppo and now I feel like
I'm now they can never steal Bologna ever again. Yeah,
it does help.
Yeah, it's worth saying as well that in this deck, scoring a Bologna first doesn't actually feel that bad either as well. You get the five credits back and you're like, I've turned Big Oppo on now. Yeah.
And possibly fired a strength five Amani Trace, which is like another five credits.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Amani Sinai is a crazy card. I developed new respect for that card this weekend, I think. Definitely.
Do you think we're calling it Big Oppo because it evokes Big Tesco?
One for the UK listeners only.
What are you talking about?
Big Tesco.
Big Tesco.
How does it evoke Big Tesco?
I feel like I was losing this game, then I took a trip to the Big Oppo just to feel
something. It's got the same cadence as Big Tesco, Big Oppo.
But I love going to the Big Tesco. That's way better than Big Oppo.
Yeah, that's because you're playing the
you
Big
wanna
Oppo.
Play. Right? You want to play the Big Oppo.
Right, okay. This still doesn't make sense. It's called the big. I think it's called Big Oppo because it's four tags instead of two.
Sure, but Big Tesco is called Big Tesco because it's got a larger square frontage than a Tesco Express, right?
It's also to do with the products that they stock.
Incredible. More cutting edge Netrunner commentary from the team.
Look, I didn't play or test the R plus list, so this is all the material I've got. So,
fair. I'm not even sure he said the first person that said Big Oppo to me was, but as soon as they did, I did start saying it. It does make sense. Oh dear, incredible! Right, what did we get to? So we've looked at the R plus list as well. We've talked about the decks, and the meta and. We can look at day two quickly, but the cut went as cuts do. There wasn't a lot to it. I was quite lucky, I think, with some of my earlier rounds. But yeah, can't say anything stood out particularly. I felt bad for the lats, is all I'm going to say during the cut, because I think I've never seen so many deep dives whiffed by one deck through... What, four, five, six games maybe they played in the cut and barely hit anything on those deep dives.
This is Ben's deep dive is a bad card angle though, right? Deep dive whiffs quite a lot, or quite a lot gives you an agenda that you don't want to or can't steal. And the resources you have to expend to do that are quite extravagant. Ollie was unlucky because he missed deep dives that would have basically won him the game. But it is an awkward card to play, and it misses more than you'd want a card that you put so many resources into.
Yeah, at least if just looking at it, it feels like it should be guaranteed points, because it's like eight cards is so many cards. If I'm conduited for eight cards, I feel like I would be hitting something. But yeah, statistically, especially halfway through a game, maybe it isn't always guaranteed, but you always feel like in the moment, especially if you're banking on a Hermes or something, that like this is definitely going to hit, and as soon as it misses, you're completely screwed.
Yeah.
I think it's just the fact that it's gone when it's gone. Obviously, some lists are playing two or three, but if you've got a deck that's running Twinning or whatever other, you know, permanent multi-access you've got in play, if you're ahead and you're getting your multi-accesses because as for runner you've decided it's safe to start trying to actually steal agendas and win the game, then if you miss, it's fine. You just do it again. Whereas, yeah, the deep dive decks often don't really have anything to back it up if it does miss, and then you're on single accesses, and that's really bad.
Having said that, I mean, if Nats was this weekend, I would be playing Lat, I think.
Because you think it's the best, or because you want to resolve the enigma of everyone who played the Lat deck claiming that it has a good R-plus matchup and just losing to R-plus repeatedly in the cut?
Mostly because when Lat came out, I said that Lat was really good, and now I can't back down from that.
Oh,
that
I remember this. I remember you saying that Lat was the best shaper, but this was years ago.
Years ago, and it hasn't really paid off until now. So I've still got all my Lat's the best t-shirts to shift.
I mean, the theory stands that if Hashiko is good because it draws you a card roughly every turn, then Lat should also be good, right?
Yeah, yeah. As long as people don't start playing PD.
Just play Memory Diamond?
Yeah, T400 Memory Diamond. Yeah.
And Super Corridor must be good, because if Lat's good because it makes you play minigames, then Super Corridor lets you play even more minigames.
I think the numbers on both going into the event and then after the event are quite compelling that Lat is really well placed. It had the best win rate of all the runners coming out of Worlds, and I think it had the best conversion rate coming out of this event as well.
Yes. I remember when we looked at the Worlds data and we did say like those Lat numbers are, I think Lat was the only runner that over the course of the event had a positive win rate at Worlds. Like the only one at all.
Yeah.
But we sort of looked at it and went like, that's a little bit anomalous, but it's also, I think, only two players, or maybe three. Is that, like, real? And after Nats, yeah, you have to say that's definitely real. Lat is definitely up there.
Yeah.
And is that just because of Deep Dive, although it whiffs a lot? Or is it...
I think it's being able to play a Deep Dive runner that also has reasonable econ fundamentals and also has access to the turbine rig without doing horrible things to your influence, which gives you a combination of like, so you can play against the tag asset decks by having Parisia and a decent amount of money and wheels and then play into Deep Dive later, but if you come up against something like PD, you can be overclocking out your turbine and breaking their ice much more cheaply than Hashiko can ever get to, so you have sort of a higher ceiling in both directions, maybe in exchange for having a worse fundamental in the first few turns.
Also, you get Simulchip and Ob, which doesn't like solve the Ob matchup, but at least means you can play the Ob matchup and don't get blown out by Staff Run.
Yes. So yeah, you get like all of the things that decks like Mulch are paying a bunch of influence and doing weird things to import, you just sort of get all of them for free. You just don't get the like Liberateds and the Breakers. You end up paying influence for Breakers. I feel very strange that all of the Shapers are importing Buzzsaw. I understand why, especially with Turbine, but it feels very wrong.
Mm-hmm. I think that, as well as that, it's Clot access is almost not talked about enough in this meta. There's a lot of corps that are trying to fast advance at least some of their points, right? Including stuff like the R-plus deck with Shipment from Vlad, if you end up getting tagged.
Yeah, which is true. The R-plus doesn't have actually that much tag punishment. It wants to put you in like a tag hell and then just make it impossible for you to interact. And even a couple of turns we were sitting over the Simulchip before they, I don't know, make an unbreakable remote with B1001. It's just more time for you to get 5 credits and take an R&D access and maybe win.
Yeah, that is an important point. I think often when we looked at the R plus list afterwards and during, you were constantly saying to yourself, I wish I had a second shipment a lot of the time, which goes to show how important that fast advance card is for you at times in that deck. So yeah, it having that win con shut down would be uncomfortable, definitely. Cool. Okie doke. So should we wrap up on that summary there?
You successfully joined the coolest club in Netrunner, John, for people who've come second at UK NADS Club.
Yeah, the runners-up team. Congratulations to Pat on that, actually, as well. Sadly, it sounds like the videos on Twitch have been lost to time. But, yeah, there was some good games. Pat got about 20 credits on a bankroll in our final game, which was impressive. So, yeah, well played. We'll revisit this runner-up situation shortly, actually, in the second half of today's show.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What a segue.
I think as well, should we just say Nats was really good fun and a great day, and obviously thanks to everyone who helped put it together, and if you're a UK player, come to Nats next year. It'll be great.
Yeah, like the best weekend of my year, I think.
I won't talk too much about being a sad boy and not playing in Nats because I didn't want to, but I went and had a wonderful time not playing. So it's a good social experience too. If you're feeling a bit burnt out on Tournament Netrunner, it actually really recharged me, which is why I'm going to go and bomb out of a CO playing in loot. So look forward to that.
It's valuable data.
Undefeated on Jaina, Alex. How can you lose at a CO if you're undefeated on Jaina?
Yeah, and just explain to my opponents that they have to concede because I went undefeated on Jaina. This is a tangent on a tangent. But no, just to say I had a really good time. And I really do recommend coming to hang out if you're able to, you know, if you've got the weekend and you're able to make it down. Even if you're not playing, it's really good. And big thanks to Paul and his team for running it.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah, it can't be said enough how important that event is in the calendar and it's always run so well. So yeah, thank you, Paul, as always. Right then, let's get to the meat of the episode, everything that we've been waiting for. It's the episode 10 part 2 quiz. Everything's themed around the number 10. That's the aim anyway. I've tried that. We've got 5 rounds and through a rigorous team selection process before the episode started. It's Chris and Mike versus Alex and Don. No one has any clue what this quiz entails, so I will...
Hopefully you do.
I do, right. So you've got 5 rounds. It is a push-your-luck game, essentially. So I will give you the topic for that round, and then you will confer within your teams, and then you will bid on how many of something that you can name. There might be some slight variations from round to round, and then we'll open it up to the other team and they can either bid higher or they can make you play. And then if you play, you get a point. Roughly, you'll get a point for every correct answer. Again, I may play with this from round to round, dependent on my perceived understanding of the difficulty of the round.
You come second at Nats, and the power really goes to your head.
And if you fail to achieve your bidded number, we'll open it up to the other team and try and let them fulfill the remainder of that quota to try and steal the points from you. So it's a bit Family Fortunes, and it's a bit other things, maybe Tenable. Oh, that bad Warwick Davis one. Yeah, so I'm going to open you up an easy one with a really simple one. So I'm going to open this up to Alex and Don first, so you get, and there'll be an obvious reason why. So the topic for round one is runners up, okay, and we're talking about specifically world champion runners up. So there have been 11 world champions counting this year. So obviously we know soccer was world champion this year for the second time, but we don't care about world champions, do we? We care about runners up. So I need you to name, or this will be the kid, runners up. Not counting 2023, so there's 10, hence the number 10. Up to 10 runners-up. You need their names or handles, because there were some online ones, so I'll let you pick either. And the IDs that they were playing.
Oh!
Yeah.
So you need the IDs.
Spicy, right? Spicy. So you need runner-up, their name and IDs to score a single point. So I'll give you a point per one you can name, but I'll let you, you and Alex decide how many you want to bid to open up the bidding. Bearing in mind that Chris is at a minor advantage here, because he was actually a champion at one of these. And, well, yeah, we'll let you go from there. So it's over to you, Alex and Don. You pick what you want to bid first.
A lot to think about.
Including IDs.
I don't think I can hear Alex. Alex has gone muted, I think.
He's in the tank.
Sorry, I'm back. But just there to say, go. Yeah, I wish I'd just been yelling to turn at my computer while I'd been muted. The IDs make this difficult, so I'm struggling. I think I can do like two or three.
I suppose this is
Alex. I would be very happy to make a low bid of two here, because I'm gonna be honest. I barely know any.
Only two runners up. Only two.
Out of ten, though, there's got to be... Oh, but...
The IDs does make it hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm struggling with.
How about... If you think this is too hard, we can split it, and I can give you...
No.
We're all good? All right.
We'll fail on our own terms, at least.
Alex, do you think you have two in the bag?
I'm confident I have two in the bag, yeah.
If you want to confer, feel free to use Slack to confer as a team.
Might have to do some editing on this segment to reduce all of the silences. That's fine.
There'll be loads.
I'm happy to talk about it with Alex in front of the opposing team to psych them out. So, you know.
Okay.
As I said, honestly, I think you're going to carry this one, if anything. So, I'm happy to bid two.
Just two? Is that your final bid?
Yeah, I think it has to be.
How are you feeling, Mike?
Well, I mean, there's two that are pretty easy.
I would confidently go as high as, and this might be hubris talking, five.
Wow. I don't think I have any that you don't have. I think I've got three full sets and then a couple that I have one off, but I can't think of the runner.
Yeah, I've been jotting down some notes, and I think I can do five.
Do we need to...
We could, well, you get points per answer, right?
That's true. If you feel good about that, I'm happy to go with that. I
feel good enough. We'll work it between us. We've cool. Definitely got different ones as well.
Interesting.
All right, we'll say five, John.
Five. Okay, five. That looks like the high bid. I'll open it back up to Alex and Don in case they want to go six.
No way.
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right, go for it then. You've got to name five of the 10 remaining runners-up with their corp and runner IDs.
Up to 2023, right?
Up to, yeah, so we're not counting this year's, obviously, because it's too easy. So.
Is it? Okay, fine. go on then, Mike.
Sure, it should be. Well, so 16 is Ben. Max and Sync, correct?
Agreed, yep.
Yes. And then 18 was some guy.
It's me, yep.
Yeah, Mr. on CCM, and you were all on Wiz.
Max.
Not Wiz, Max, right?
We're on Max, yeah.
Red Max.
Okay.
And 17 is Grey on Haley and Rewiring CI.
That's
I had
three.
The corp, and I wasn't 100% sure on the runner. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It was Grey. Was 2015...
2015 is Timmy Wong. And he was playing NEH and Wizard.
Correct. Yep, one more to get.
2019 is Test Running.
Yeah, I don't remember the runner here.
It was Freedom. They were both on because
it was
both Freedom. Yeah,
the
Freedom and
Corp.
And
the Corp is Palana, right?
Palana two grids. Yeah.
The Costa grid Palana.
Yeah.
Correct. That's it. That's your entire five. Nice work. Did you want to have a no points punt on any of the others before I start reading them out?
Well, yeah, 2022 is who was it? I've forgotten who 22 was. Scry. It was a snare boat. It was Scry, wasn't it? On Agonfusion and what were they on? They're on Freedom, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well done. You could have gone six there.
Yeah.
Was 2014 Mintran?
It's definitely. Yep. Yeah. And that's PE, but I can't remember what his runner is. I think it might be Andromeda.
I think it's Andromeda, but it might be Kate.
It was Andy.
Yeah. And 2021 is Jonas Wilson on Gagarin and Max.
Yeah. Nice work.
God, I forgot about that Gagarin deck. Completely memory hold that.
I'm astonished. My brain just doesn't retain this kind of information, so yeah.
No, winners only, and then usually only the game, the deck they played in the
even
final
winners.
Game,
I barely remember who won Worlds in any particular year. So,
does anyone even have a guess for the first two?
2013 and 2020 are the only years you have left.
So Andrew Veen came second in one of them. He lost to Jens Eriksson in the final.
Yep, that's 2013.
I can't remember what decks he was playing.
It's got to be like Gabriel Santiago and Wayland, whatever the Wayland ID is, right?
Building a battle.
Quite high chance of ETF, right?
Oh, ETF,
it
could be ETF.
It was Making News and Kate.
Ooh, okay. What a terrible
spicy
choice.
Choices for 2013.
No wonder you came second.
And 2020 was the online one that Limes won.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he beat. I think he might be a CTM.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what the runner is. I can't tell you who it is, I'm afraid. Apologies to that person.
So, it is TF34, who I believe is Toby, and he was on CTM and Freedom.
Sure.
Damn. Nice.
Freedom comes second at Worlds, more than any other ID. What?
Freedom has been runner-up three times. Three times Freedom has been runner-up.
Freedom has
world.
Huge runner-up vibes, right? Freedom
is incredible. Right, so that was pretty good. Good start. So Chris and Mike, 5 points. Alex and I are still on zero at the moment. But there's all to play for as we step into round two. Okay, so this is about when the theme of 10 starts to get difficult for me. So round two is cards of 10 cost or more. there are 17 cards in total. This is talking, we're talking everything. Rotation, the lot, the whole card pool. There are 17 cards with a cost of 10 or more. You will get 1 point for the title. That's it. So 1 point for the title. If you can give me cost or influence for that card, I'll give you a bonus point. But your bidding is just on the title of the card, or the name of the card. So, okay. Alex and Don, I'll open it up to you again as you're behind. So you can put in your first bid. You can have a chat. You can go silent if you need to. We'll just edit out.
Yeah, I'm going to have a minute to think about this one. Cards that cost 10 or more.
Cards cost 10 or more. This is Corp. This is run at anything. We don't care. It's just 10 or more.
Oh,
I need another piece of paper.
Did you say there are 17 of these?
17? That seems incredible.
I believe it.
17 cards. Yeah. I'm going to blow your mind with some with some card facts today, I think.
I'm definitely missing some good, obvious ones. I've got 8 so far. Off the top
of my good.
I've also got 8 so far.
But we're almost certainly naming a lot of the same ones because there's a lot of, you know, famously expensive cards. And then
check your Slack messages, Alex, but I suspect they're very similar.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, you'll need to confer in Slack, I expect.
Don got some
for these ones.
Even worse cards than the ones I
thought. Some of these are quite bad, I'll tell you now.
Yeah.
Costing more than 10 is usually a downside.
Weird how the cards would cost loads.
Oh, obviously. All right, I've got a list.
Okay. All right.
It doesn't have 17 on. I'll tell you now, Dom.
Having a much shorter list.
How you getting on, Alex and Don? Do you need a bit more time? Another 30 seconds or so to just try?
Yeah, I don't want to drag it out for too long.
No,
it's better than the game. I like our list so far, though.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to kick myself when I see some of these cards, I'm sure.
yeah.
What are the big boys?
Hang on.
More!
Keep thinking of cards that definitely cost 9.
There's a lot of cards that cost 9. A lot of cards that in my head cost like 9.5.
Like, card costs go 1, 2, 3, 4, too much, never installing it.
Or 0, aka good.
Okay, Alex, Don, can you give me a bid?
Is that it?
Your initial bid?
Let me count what we had written down. 1, 2.
Okay.
I'm going to say 12. I think 12. Oh, Alex, do you agree with that's how many we've got?
Good sounding bid.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I can take.
So Chris, I have. Mike. I have 14 names written down.
Jesus.
Ah,
damn.
How wow, confident are you that they all cost more than 10?
Or 10 or more, right?
10 or more. 10 or more. Yeah. Yeah. 10 is the magic number. Yeah.
Like 85%.
I am nowhere near. I'm on like 7, and then the rest are all just in a binder somewhere.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll hedge our bets then and say 13.
13.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. So 13 bid from Chris and Mike. Do you wanna review your list one more time, Alex and Don? Do you wanna maybe see if you can find 14? Inspiration might strike when you're naming them. You never know.
It might do. Who knows?
Yeah, that the pressure will definitely help.
I'm surprised.
I feel like I'm... Can we push it to 14?
Can we push this?
What's hang on. What's the risk, right, of us bidding too high and not?
Yeah. What happens if we bid too high and fail again? Just rhyme.
So if Chris and Mike can name one of the remaining cards at that point when you fail, then they just steal all the points.
They steal points. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Right.
What a freebie. Yeah.
In that case, I think maybe we hope that Chris has misjudged.
very possible. I might have written the same thing down twice. Who knows?
We've had a couple where we're like, I think that's 9. So yeah.
Yeah. Fine. Right. Okay. Fine.
Okay. All right. So Chris and Mike to play again, and your target bid is 13.
Yeah. Mike, do you want to go with your sub list?
Oh, with the guarantees. Okay. I mean, the only four of these I'm 100% confident on. This is really exposing my card pool knowledge here. Are Big Deal, Curtain Wall, Monolith, and Janus.
All right, so slow down for me. So big deal, yeah.
Yep.
Big Deal, Curtain Wall.
Yep.
Yep, on the list. Monolith. Janus.
And Janus, and yeah, those two.
They are all good guesses, yes.
Okay.
I have, in addition to Big Deal, I have the other 10 cost operations, Restructure and Government Subsidy.
Yeah, so that is there, and that is there. Yep.
In the overpriced console section, I have Blackguard.
Blackguard.
How can you forget Blackguard? FFG wrote a whole article about it.
It feels like a 9 cost card. That feels like
one of my first decks that I played at tournaments was Blackguard Andy.
In the stupid Byroid section, I have Wotan.
Wotan is correct. Yeah.
I wrote down Wotan with a bunch of question marks.
Wotan is 14, and Heimdall 2.0 is 11.
Correct, yep.
The big barrier section, I have Chiashi.
Yep, correct. I thought everyone would get Chiashi.
Hadrian's Wall is 10. Good old Corset cards. Orion is technically a barrier.
Mm. Yep.
And then I have two options left.
there are five options remaining. Yeah.
Right. I can't remember exactly how much tier costs. That's what I'm not confident on. So I'll say Orca, which I'm pretty sure is 10.
Yep, Orca is 10 and is there. Yep.
How many have I got?
So we've got 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 13. You are all right, 13. Well done.
I think that was the correct hedge. I think tier is 9.
Tier is 10.
We're not going to steal, but I think we have one other that you didn't get.
Go for it. Have a guess. What's that?
We have Hydra.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, Hydra is there.
Also 10.
Also 10. There are two remaining that you've missed.
How much does Mass Driver cost?
I think that's a 9.
7 or 8, maybe.
Or maybe even 8, yeah.
They are both corp cards, and they are both ice.
Both ice. What are the other big ices? Conundrum's 8, I think, or 7.
Yeah.
Draco.
Technically.
IQ, if your hand's big enough.
No, not quite. So the you've got Bulwark is a 10 cost.
That costs 7.
It's too good.
Like Orion costs 0. None of these ice costs what they cost.
And next diamond is a 10. Oh, sure. There you go.
Okay,
fair enough.
That last one's fake.
I played against next diamond on JNet this week, so I
have no excuse. with Loop, I presume.
Right, okay, so round two over. Chris and Mike in a commanding lead, 18-0, but there is all to play for as we go into round three. So round three is stealth. So there are 11 stealth cards, one of which is smoke. So we are removing smoke from that list because it's an identity. So our 10, the magic number 10, stealth cards remaining. How many can you name? So on this one, I want title of card and faction in order to get a point. All right. So title
Don
and faction
is definitely get the point. Definitely better than me at subtypes.
And I will give you mega bonus points if you can give me the influence spend on any of these as well.
On any of them. Ooh, okay.
So if you give me an influence spend on it, I'll give you a bonus point per card. You can name me the influence spend on it. Oh. So they have 10 in total. Alex Don, you can go first again because you're still behind. So you can have a think and put your bid in first.
I think we're getting there between us, actually.
I'm shocked that there's 10.
There are 10. Yeah, so was I.
It is a lot, huh?
This really saved me.
Tom thought of one that I thought really clever for guessing. But
that's one.
Hang on. I think Tom and I might have 11 between us or something. Oh, no, wait, no, I think...
Okay, we're arguing about what a card name is.
Yeah, I think it might be the same one that I'm arguing about.
So yeah, remember I need title and faction for this one. Because there's only 10, it'd be too easy otherwise.
Title and faction for the point.
That's all right. If you can name the
point,
definitely the faction.
Exactly. Yeah. So it should be easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna bid 10.
Yeah. We're gonna bid 10, right?
10. Straight in with 10. Okay. So don't even get right straight in. Then you're playing because obviously Chris and Mike can't beat that bid. So over to you, Alex. Don, start naming your 10.
Okay. I'm gonna read our list, but Alex, do you want to chime in if you know the influence on any of these?
Hang on. Yeah, but I feel like we should just start with the one we're the least sure about, right, to make it more exciting. And isn't that also better play?
Tactically, that's terrible.
Oh no,
we have to name one.
We name. We get points for all the ones you name, right?
Okay. Yeah, we should name all the easy ones first, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay. Right. Trix Attacker.
Oh.
That's an Anuk card.
Yes.
That's not on my list.
Alex, do you remember how much influence Trix Attacker is?
What's the punishment for guessing?
Three,
there's no punishment for this if you're going for
greatest. I think all the companions are all
no,
the
they're not all three, because Mamie's two, but I'm going to say Trickster is three.
Yeah, I think Trickster's three, because I remember it being like a dicey influence spend in Smoke. Yeah.
Correct, yep. Yeah, Trickster attacks it, it's three influence. So bonus point there, you got two for that one.
Okay. I have Cloak, which is a Shaper card.
Yes, correct.
I don't know, it's free influence also?
No, incorrect.
Okay. Silencer is a Crim card?
Yep, correct.
I feel like I'm going to end up guessing free influence for all of these.
I think Silencer Alex, is three. I think Silencer is three.
Is that what you're going for? Three?
Yeah, sure.
Yep, correct. Three influence. Okay. Bonus point there.
Ghost Runner. That's a neutral card and it costs zero influence.
Yes, correct. Yep.
Okay, which one of these haven't we done? Netmercure, that's a Shaper card.
Yep.
Oops, missed that.
Wow. I don't know. Free influence?
I think this is four.
Oh, do you think it's four? Okay, we could change to four. Four influence. Yeah.
Let's say four, yeah.
You going for four?
Yep.
Okay. No, it's three,
mate.
Is it three? Ah!
No one knows because no one's ever imported it anywhere. Who would know?
No, I should have trusted Don.
Cold Reed.
Yep. Correct.
Shaper.
Yes.
Alex, do you have an influence guess?
Cold Reed.
No one has ever imported this card.
Pretty low, that's why it's right? A guess.
Huh?
It's one. It's one or two. I would say two, though. I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna go two. Two influence.
No, it's one.
Unerring.
Okay, which of these haven't we done? Mantle, that's a Shaper card as well.
Correct, yep.
Two influence?
Yes, yeah, fine. Two influence.
Sweet. And then I think we're onto the slightly spicy one. How many do we have so far, just to check?
You have seven, there are three remaining.
Okay, I think I know which ones those are.
There's no risk to naming a card we've already named, right? So we don't
know. Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure we haven't named Lockpick.
Yeah, correct.
That's a Shaper card. It's free influence.
Yeah, correct.
Mm-hmm. Penumbral Toolkit is a
Grimoire card.
Obviously.
And it costs two influence. Alex, do you have a correction on that?
I have no idea whatsoever.
Yeah, two influence.
I've never read this card.
Correct, that is two influence. You have now, one remaining.
Is this last one the one you're arguing for the name over?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, this is the fun one, right?
Dyson Fractal Generator.
Sounds good.
Which is an Anuk card. Yes, correct.
And costs
well
three
done.
Influence.
Must
because
be yes.
The whole chipset costs three influence each. Yes.
Incredible work. Very well done. Yes. Nice. That is 10 plus... Three, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So plus 7 bonus points that one. So you, a grand score of 17. That is narrowed it right up. So it's only 1 point now separate you after Don and Alex. Don, incredible memory on these shape cards, particularly. So
Alex,
yeah, well done.
New Dyson Fractal Generator, and I did not. So congrats. I'm sure nice. I'm that, much about it.
But I wrote Dyson ??
I had it as Anuk Stealth Chip in my list, yeah. And then Alex helpfully named it.
Yeah, when Don and I both did our list, we had 11, so I was like, hang on, this is fun now. But then I read Donna put Anuk Chip. I think I put this card away this week, but also I did already know this, because this card's like common. The flavor text is about how you can't generate random numbers or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Were you building rogue classics with all the stealth chips?
Thinking about importing it in the loop, I think. So.
Like just every day I'm thinking about Black Cat. Are the numbers on it good? What does it do?
No.
Incredible. All right, so round three out of the way. Round four is probably the last of the sensible rounds because round five is ridiculous. So
good.
Round four is legal AIs. There are 10 legal AIs at the moment. Would you believe that? 10 legal AIs. So same deal as before. Bid on how many you can name. I just want the title on these for the point. But if you can give me, should we say cost and influence on the AIs for a bonus point? Because you did say well last time. So yeah, 10. There are 10, and we're only interested in legal AIs. So this is when I fielded NRDB
standard
by,
legal or
standard legal. We don't tarry with any other format on this podcast other than standard. So standard legal AIs. Alex Adonis, you're still 1 point behind. You get again first refusal on the bids here.
Okay.
We'll have to keep Mike. You'll have to keep editing in the theme tune until these dead bits. Thinking time. Or I can hum it. No, I'm not doing that.
Maybe this is where we can finally put in one of the other bits of music that you bought like 3 years ago.
Either spaghetti western whistling or bagpipe music. Neither are suitable, I fear. Probably get.
God, I'm a bit stuck on these last ones.
I think this might be one of the harder rounds, actually, legal AIs. I didn't know. I was shocked that there were 10, so.
Very good at recalling illegal AIs.
Yeah, lots of those.
I'll give you another 30 seconds of thinking time, and then I'll ask you a few bits.
Yeah, we've got a number, so yeah, just give us a second to figure out if there's one other hiding here.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. We are going to bid 7.
7. Nice. Good start. Good opening bid.
Okay. So we have found 7.5.
Ooh. Would you like to bid 7.5?
I'd love to. Can I?
It has to be a whole number. I won't take halves, unfortunately. So you're 8 or all letting right. Alex and Don play for the quiz.
We should try for 8, right, Mike?
Yeah, I think it is. I'm just not.
I think it's like 7.75, so that rounds up to 8. All right, we'll say 8.
Fine.
8. Wow. Okay. Alex and Don, did you want to try and find?
There's no way we're making 9, right?
No, I don't think we can.
Alex, have you suddenly remembered a bunch of AIs?
No, I haven't. Is endurance an AI? Surely not.
Oh wait. Okay,
endurance isn't legal.
I wish we could have bid first because I think I have 8 now, but it's fine.
You think you have 8? What's your 8th one?
Let me DM really, you number 8 in case you've
really
suddenly
ruined by learning
one.
That last one isn't an AI. That doesn't.
I know, right? Because it can't break anything.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure we have 8 now, but it's fine.
I have no idea what the last 2 are.
Okay, alright, so Chris and Mike to play. 8 is the target. So yeah, legal AIs. I give you bonus points if you can give me cost and influence for any of these cards.
Okay, so there's 3 in the Automata Initiative, 1 for each faction. Audrey is 1. Audrey's the first on my list. Or Audrey version 2, I think. Is that
yes, so Audrey is 1.
definitely cost three. I have no idea how much influence it is.
I would guess it's three, and but yeah, I've only ever seen it in art.
Right, we'll say three.
Say three and three? Yep, correct. You get a bonus point for that one.
I've just realised the next two aren't from...
They're
from Parhelion. Brilliant. So my method is very flawed. Tunnel vision.
I was very confused when you said that.
Tunnel vision is an AI.
Tunnel vision is an AI, yes, correct.
It costs two, and I'm going to assume the influence is two, because that's the rule of the card.
No, sadly, it's three influence, so no bonus
that
point there.
That is disgusting. And Nanak is a big polar bear AI as well, from Parhelion.
It is, yep.
Which I think costs four, but again, I've got no idea how much influence it is. I'll leave that bit to Mike.
It's a dumb shape card. I think it might be four. It's got a lot of conditions on it. It's very weird.
It is five influence to influence the work, so.
Should have gone more weird.
The next two are Mike's.
Okay. So yeah, next, Matryoshka.
Yes.
I assume is zero influence. I don't know how much it is to install. Chris, do you have any idea how much
it's free
to install? Zero, okay.
Correct.
Because
yep,
people in Scotland keep all... making lists of it in.
Sure. And then Almaca is three to install, one inf.
Yes, those correct. Yeah. Everyone loves it. Point there. Nice.
Then we've got Mayfly.
Yep.
Which costs one and is no influence.
Correct, yep.
We've got Slap Vandal.
Yes.
Costs zero, right?
I have no idea.
Not the whole point. I'm pretty sure it costs zero, but I have no idea on the influence. It might be two, maybe.
Right, say zero and two.
No, it costs one to install and two influence.
Wrong.
Okay. And this is our one we're not sure about, but we're pushing.
I'm pumped.
Is it
legal?
I think Atman might be in system update.
Oh, it is. Correct. Atman is legal and in system update.
That nice. Is free cost and free influence, I think.
Nice.
Damn,
awesome.
Silly guessed it.
Yeah. Good work. Well done. Any guesses on the remaining two legal AIs?
We had
one other, I think.
Yeah.
God of War?
Yep, God of War
what?
Was one of the ones that was missing.
That's right,
yeah.
It's
still legal. It's Ares.
Huh.
Yeah.
Can you give me cost and AI and cost influence on God of War, I'll give you a cheeky bonus point, Alex and Don.
It's four to install, isn't it?
It's four to install. That's
yeah.
True.
It could be it's four or five for influence, right?
Let me break out the FFG dartboard.
We all should have played more Tag Me Zaya.
I think it might be. Oh no!
Four or five feels way too much to me because it's.
Okay, but I think it's high. I think it's three. Should we go three?
It could be four. It could be four or two in my mind. Those are the viable options. But I'm willing to go with your guess of three. Split the difference.
Three.
Alex, should we say three? Four and three, then. Four to install, three influence.
Correct. Yeah, I'll give you cheeky both points. That one all done. Good. Four and three. And the very last legal AI?
Baffled to be informed by Chris that apparently Baba Yaga is not AI. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
It's just some weird card. So the last
just a witch
remaining legal AI is Maven.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, right. Yeah, no. Cause, yeah, it was later than Savant and Adept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
it's really made up card.
Tell the points. So you got your 8 plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bonus points there. Nice work. Lovely to put you on 29. And actually, you get pick up a cheeky bonus point there for name of God of War with the correct cost of influence. So the current scores as we go into the last round are Chris and Mike 29, Alex Dunn 18. Now we come to the final round before the canonical bonus points, which is ridiculous. I'll give you a chance. I desperately ran out of options for 10 at this point. So
there's a reason this is the last round of the quiz, right?
Yeah. So what we the theme of this round is the 10th card. So we are only looking at FFG printed packs.
So, oh my and god.
Include this does not include big boxes or core sets. So everything from the FFG anyway that came out in a little pack. We are looking at only the 10th card. Right, and this is how we're going to do. So no bidding on this one. You will get alternate turns in teams. I will name a card, and you will tell me which pack it comes from.
That's not so bad, okay.
Yeah. I mean, cool. This is still pretty bad, right?
This like, is I, was pretty... I was just trying to remember what order FFG stacked their data packs in to remember if this was going to be runner or corp neutral.
Yeah, exactly. There's
a lot more corp cards than there are runner in this. I will let you know that. I'm going to be kind.
Neutral cards.
I will be kind, and for reference, I will post the entire list of pack names in the Slack.
Oh.
So with their
what a treat.
Cycle names above. So you will have those as reference. I have randomly shuffled the list, so I will just start reading from the top down, and every time you give me a title, every time I give you a title and you name me the set correctly, I will give you a point. And if you fail, we'll switch over to the other team and I'll name the next card. And we'll just keep going down like that. And we'll give you 2 lives each, I think, because otherwise we'll be here all day. Because there's a lot of cards. Like 49 cards. Or you may rinse it, I don't know. So, Alex...
seems unlikely.
Be here for a while. Go through every data pack.
Alex, you get to go first because you're behind. So, as long as you can keep this run running, So... The first card in the shuffled list is Chatterjee University. From which pack is that? The 10th card.
Good luck.
You've got
Mumbad
the list
cycle.
In front of you.
I know that much.
Yeah, it's Mumbad cycle.
Exactly. Nice.
It's 1 in 6.
Yep. Roll the dice, baby. Chatterjee University.
University.
I was going to ask if we can look up what it does, but NetworkDB also does.
That's your like little Alex cheat.
Very easy to cheat.
I have no idea. It's in the middle of the cycle.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What did this card do?
do you want the card text? I'll read
you
the card text.
Yeah, can we ask you for the card text?
So, yeah, you can. You can any
not,
of
this is not going to help.
Chatterjee University. It's a unique one install cost resource. It's ritzy. And click place one power counter on Chatterjee University, or click install a program from your group, lowering the install cost by one for each power counter.
I remember this card.
Yeah. Right. Classic engine card.
Were these packs sort of themed in Mumbad? I don't feel like they were.
Yeah, they're a little bit themed. Liberated Mind had, like, the Chela stuff in it, for example.
Yeah.
I don't know. A university is a place you might go to liberate your mind, so...
That's true. I think we're looking at, like, Democracy and Dogma, or, like, Salset Island.
Okay. Well, Salset Island has the slums on it, so maybe the university
is
not there.
Yeah, so is the university there?
I don't know if the university is there. I'm willing to go Democracy and Dogma, or maybe even Business First. A university is
rich. 2 lives might not be enough for this game, John.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Business First is where we got the political asset, but I guess that doesn't mean we can't get... Yeah, I could also go for Business First on.
Alex, do you think university is more business or more democracy?
That's a good question, right?
Now we're talking.
I think it's more business, right?
Alright, we're gonna guess business first.
Business first. That is incorrect. Chatterjee University came from the Carla Goda set.
Wow,
no.
So we'll do 3 lives. So we'll go Chris and Mike, you're
tricky.
Up next. It is, yeah, this is... although, I'm going to give you a bonus because the process of elimination there to even narrow it down was good. I like the thought process. It was interesting to watch. So, your card...
to imagine that FFG would be that consistent.
Yeah, very true. So your card is Snatch and Grab.
Oh, this is before my time.
So it's an early one. Let me just look at the list... So it's either it's not Genesis, and it's not Sansan. It's either Spin or Luna.
And it's the side effect is Bad Pop, right? Which is highly Spin Cycle.
I can read out the text for you.
Oh yes.
No, it's not. It's something about a tag. It's trashing connections and tags.
Correct. Yeah, it's choice three. If successful, trash one connection, the runner can take one tag to prevent.
I'm thinking of the other one.
Yeah. So I think this is Luna. Somewhere, but I don't know where in Luna is. Luna also has a theoretical story, but it's very, very thin on card text.
Nasir on the moon.
Do you want me to read out the flavor text on it, if that helps you?
That's fine. Mike, I'm going to let you pick a pack from Luna.
I don't know the difference between any of these packs on Luna, so this is pure guess. Is that okay?
Yeah, go nuts.
Alright, up and over.
Sadly, no. It was All That Remains.
I would have gone earlier than up and
who
over.
Who knew this round was going to be so difficult?
We all did when you told us.
All of us upon hearing how the round worked.
There are some cards that I can place, but...
the cycle, we might have been... I guess
these nothing cards.
Cycle might be too easy, but we can always drop to that.
It's fine.
Yeah, no, this is fine.
So
this is fine.
Imagine when we get one, John.
Exactly. It'll be good. So, Alex and Don, back to you. Your card is Sherlock 1.0.
Ooh. What?
Right, this is an early card.
Yeah, because right. Wasn't Sherlock 2.0 in Creation and Control?
Wait. So it's late? Maybe it's actually later than that? Now I'm feeling bad.
I think this is Spin or Genesis for sure.
Or could it be in old Hollywood as like a cultural character?
Sherlock is a TV series.
Not a bad idea. Enforcer 1.0 is in old Hollywood, right?
And I don't that's think true. We've yeah, got I don't think they put Sherlock and Enforcer in the same pack.
Because HP decks.
John, can we get a text check on Sherlock 1.0, please?
Yeah, well, yeah, just yeah. Interest.
It's the mass killer. It puts programs on top of their stacks.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 5-cost Spiroid, and it's trace 4. If successful, add one installed program to the top of the runner stack. You've got that subroutine twice.
Now, I don't want to put pressure on you, but I think I know this.
Oh.
For a very, very niche reason.
I think this is in Genesis.
You think this is a Genesis card?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Now, it does trace, so we could say trace amount.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait. Do you want to hear some reasoning?
Not really, no, but go ahead.
Well, bad luck. The fourth pack in Genesis is A Study in Static, and that's like a Sherlock Holmes reference, right?
Oh, darn, that is good reasoning.
I think that's good reasoning, so I think we should guess it.
Yeah, whatever. I'm happy enough to give it a go.
Okay, we're guessing A Study in Static.
Okay, that's incorrect. Chris, did you want to have a pop at this as you see?
Yeah, like, so just before Nats, I was going through my card box and sorting out some cards for my decks for Netrunner for the Nationals. And in that card box, as well as some broken sleeves, all my legal cards, some deck boxes, is one unopened data pack, which I went through and looked through and reminisced for. And that data pack contained Sherlock 1.0 and was Trace Amount.
Yes, it was Trace Amount you talked
about. Now, if you want to ask why I had an unopened copy of Trace Amount in my deck box, I have no idea.
The amazing. Is John mailed it to you so he could fix the quiz in your favour.
We were going to be right. We misleveled ourselves.
I know.
Don, I like your reasoning more. A Study in Scarlet reference is a lot better than It's Got a Trace of It, even if that is correct.
Yeah.
It is a really early piece of ice, though. We were right about that.
It was a really good... I liked that guess, but yeah, it led you astray, unfortunately. So, back to Chris and Mike. So I'll give you your bonus point for getting Sherlock 1.0. Your card is Ichabod Project.
Okay. So this is recent. This is
somewhere in Katara.
Katara, yep. I agree.
I feel like it's early in the cycle for some reason, but I might... I'm not certain why.
So where are all the 5 threes in the same pack? I don't think they were.
No. Well, I think SSL endorsement is in possibly Council of the Crest, but I feel like the faction ones were a bit earlier than that.
I'm pretty sure Akar was in the same pack as Acer Group, but I don't know which pack Acer Group is in.
I think it... I'm not... Did Acer come out before or after 419? Because 419 is... Because I'm pretty sure 419 was in The Devil and the Dragon.
I think it's after. Because I can remember doing pack reviews on with Jono on a rival podcast.
highly active and alive rival podcast.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. other than that, so I think it's one of the last three, but other than that, I don't know.
So just a punt from those three then?
Please.
Am I reading these in the right order? Yes. So down the White Nile? Are we happy with that?
Delighted.
Sure. Down the White Nile.
Sadly, no. Ichor Project is in Sovereign Sight.
Yeah.
Oh.
Correct positioning off by bad guess.
Although also isn't Down the White Nile the second pack in the cycle?
These...
Yes.
Because these are... Right, this list you have sent is in reverse order.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're bottom right. Up. Yeah, apologies.
Oh, so it was actually in the first pack in the cycle. We were wrong in every direction.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So, Alexandon, technically your last life, but we'll fudge that in a minute, probably. So your card...
to keep the podcast going. Yep.
Is voting machine initiative another 5-3 agenda?
Right. Are we bruising ourselves if we say this has got to be Democracy and Dogma?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. It's definitely Mumbad Cycle.
I mean, surely, right?
Right. So.
Yeah, good enough.
I think, like, Fear the Masses was the last pack in the cycle and had the Election Day card in it, I think. But, like, I think there was Democracy stuff all through Mumbad, so.
Yeah.
Should we just do that, because it seems like the most obvious?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we're going to say Democracy and Dogma.
You are correct, voting machine. Yay! This was nice. In Democracy and Dogma. Good
That's
work.
A real entrant for, like, bad card in an all-time busted pack award.
Yeah.
So can you keep this run alive? Your next card is Next Opal.
What are you talking about?
I feel like you asked that question knowing what was about to happen.
Can we get the card text, please?
It's a Codegate Observer Next, Strength 3, and the Ice Gains subroutine. You may install one card from HQ for each rezzed piece of Next Ice. It's a full.
I'm sorry, can we have the printed text, please? We want it as it came out of beta pack.
Yeah, this is one where you game lost. Well, not game lost.
That's you were, yeah. Where you had to install agendas. Whether you want to or not.
Okay.
I got no idea what this is.
This could be in literally like any data pack after Creation and Control.
Yeah.
I think this is a later.
There are next cards everywhere in the card pool. That's the problem.
But this is a later one, I think.
You think this is a later one? Okay.
Yeah. Because we just had like silver, bronze, silver, and then gold.
Originally, yeah.
I think gold and then, is in like Luna, and then diamond comes out at some point.
Diamond Flashpoint, because it's like kind of a weird card.
Yeah,
and then
I could
Opal
I could
after
a...
Flashpoint.
I think it is. Yeah, I think so. Oh,
okay.
I remember I was at a tournament in Reading at the hotel where someone was playing it, but I think CTM was out then, so maybe it is Flashpoint.
Oh.
I could see this being like Quorum or something. Like an early Flashpoint card.
See, I want to say that Diamond is in Flashpoint and that Opal is later, but I might
Maybe
be wrong.
Yeah.
I kind of want to put it in Katara Cycle, but again, this is just guesswork.
Where do maybe you get opals in like Africa. I don't know where opals come from.
Mm-hmm. That's where we get it in Uncut Gems, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, cross knowledge. Look at that.
So, like, but I still think it's relatively early, like compiler ascendant or something.
I'm willing to go with your instinct on this one because I really don't know.
What do you mean? Go back and say it's a like a bomber.
Yeah, no, I might be wrong. So,
well, so I think we're both wrong.
Yeah.
Honestly, if this was Guess the Cycle, I still wouldn't be confident, right?
No, me neither.
Okay, I'm going to say Quorum.
Okay, yep, let's go Quorum then.
No, sadly, it's in Earth's Scion.
Okay.
That's Red Sands.
So is Mars.
It is.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Different cycle altogether. Yeah, that was a tough one. But I liked the using Uncut Gems to whittle it down to Cyrus. It was good work. But you did get... Oh, no. There we go. You did get one. So there we go. Let me just put that in red, not green. Right then. Okay, so back to Chris and Mike. Last life you're on. Your card is the HBID Stronger Together.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
So, IDs should be easy, right? No, they're not. But
yeah.
You'd think you would remember where IDs come from.
I think it's the first pack.
Yeah, I think it's really, really early.
I think it's just what lies ahead. I'm pretty sure it's like literally in the first data pack. I've already had trace amount, so it can't be trace amount.
Very true. Yeah, we have already had trace amount. Is that your guess? What lies ahead?
Unless Mike wants to.
I've got nothing. The only card in this cycle that I know the position of is Plascrete. Everything
I'm
else
sure,
is just sort of.
I'm sure this is in the first data pack. So yeah, what lies ahead?
Correct. Yes, it is in what's lies ahead.
Oh damn!
nice work. Okay, so your next card is CFC Excavation Contract, a 4-2 agenda. I am more than happy to give you card text from this.
You don't need to, John. It gives you money for Resbiroids.
Yeah, oh, you know this? Wowza.
Yeah.
Okay.
Classic JNet card.
JNet card, yeah.
So this is on... It's on Mars, right?
Yeah, it's a Red Sands card.
Beyond that, utterly unknowable.
Could be any of them.
Blood and Water is the pack in this cycle that is mega busted, and I feel like if this agenda had been in that pack, I would have laughed about it more when I looked up the cards in that pack.
Yeah, agreed.
And we've already had Earth's Scion.
We've had Earth's Scion, yeah.
So... one of the other four.
Got a D4?
Doesn't really fit the theme of any of them. I mean, I assume Station 1 is actually in space, but that's not how FFG works. So
it's got a big robot going over like some Mars soil is the picture.
Yeah, so you'd expect it to actually be on Mars.
It's going across, a big dusty Mars plane with some little guys and little tractor type things next to it.
And I think the last couple of packs in this cycle got a bit more hectic on the theme than like a nice Mars world building. They were all more like Alice trying to blow the domes up and all of the mercs.
Alright, so are we saying like
Daedalus
Complex? Station 1?
One of those two.
Yeah, I don't dare overrule in case I'm them wrong, so.
Oh, all the pressure on me.
Daedalus Complex will do it.
Complete guess. Daedalus Complex.
So you unfortunately, no, this one was in Crimson Dust. It's in the very last batch.
So it's at the really hectic end of the cycle, but also some
thematic. They're just excavating some cities.
They are going through some crimson dust, I guess.
Got a whole new atmosphere to fuck up.
So everybody's run out of lives, sadly.
Damn.
Chris and Mike got 2 points and Alex and Don got 1 point. If you want, we could continue on and just make this easier and go through cycles, or we could just jump forward to the final conundrum anagram last round decider.
If we do about another 30, we'll have ruled most of the packs out and it'll be easy. So
exactly.
I'm happy to jump to a conundrum.
Awesome.
The only question I have is, does anyone remember what the other piece of next dice is called? The one that next temporarily had an infinite combo.
Yeah,
that's
Sapphire.
The one.
Sapphire.
If anyone's interested in the remaining 10th card from all of the packs, I can send you the spreadsheet after this.
you can look it up
on
Netrunner.
It would have been funny if you'd been like, can I recommend netrunnerdb.com?
There were some, like, we never got to really, the shuffle sort of robbed us of all the easier ones. Eli 1.0, probably a standout. Citadel Sanctuary, yeah. Friends in High Places, Ark Lockdown, Beth, Kerry Chang. Yeah, Overcast Protocol.
I feel like I can do the Flashpoint ones because it's the only cycle where the theme makes sense.
Yeah.
And Sansan, right?
Sansan
had really strong magic effects.
Yeah.
So it's
right?
Pretty easy.
Per pack.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so final round. In true sort of countdown thing, we're going to end with a conundrum, but that would include having a 10-letter anagram, and I couldn't get a festive one that fit the bill. So this is much more than 10 letters. So I've given you a clue to this one because I think it would be too difficult, and I'm crap at anagrams, so if anyone can get this, I'm going to give you lots of points. So let's say there's 15 points available for this, which will win it for Alex and Don if they can get it.
I love when the last round is the only one that matters.
Yeah, exactly. So the clue to this, it's a, if you walk through a comp, it would be a common player phrase that you would probably hear someone say for a do nothing corp, right? Common player phrase, do nothing corp. And your
okay, are
festive...
we just yelling the answer?
Well, yeah, we'll just
okay
fastest finger first. So the words you've got, so it's a, that's a common player phrase, do nothing corp, and the clue or the conundrum itself is the phrase nutcracker shoplifters. It was about as festive as I could get it, and I'll post it in Slack for you if you want to rearrange that.
Oh, so, well, letters, John.
Wow.
It is. Yep. It is. It, if it helps, I can give you the number of words in the phrase as well.
Let's build up to that.
Sure, yeah.
Nutcracker shoplifters.
Nutcracker
shoplifters. And it's a common player phrase, or a relatively common player phrase you'd probably hear from someone on a do-nothing corp. We'll put some like dramatic music in here while you're thinking. I'm saying
that's definitely happening in the edit, right?
Yeah, definitely. We can't use the countdown music because it will get copyright struck. So.
Click for three, pass turn.
Oh. Yes, correct, and 15 points. Like, nice
done.
Work, Mike. Yeah. Click for three, pass turn.
I had click three and turn, but I hadn't found the other two words.
Okay. I was getting, yeah. I managed to be like, turn is probably in here. That's got those letters.
Yeah. Good job, Mike.
Yeah, nice well work. Done. Well done. I was slightly concerned that no one would get that, so that was very quick. It took
podcast
me ages
that
to
never
find
ends.
Something even vaguely festive. So, yeah. Nice work.
Shop
all right, so
the most festive thing of all.
It's got Nutcracker in it. Like, that's as far as I can get. So, final scores. Chris and Mike on 46, Alex and Donna on 20. We will we'll keep those scores in mind. We'll have a rematch at some point in the future when I've got another idea for a quiz.
Episode 22.
Yeah, there we go. But awesome, that was very fun. I hope you enjoyed playing. I hope you enjoyed listening at home as well.
That was fun.
So thanks very much.
All right.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye, Rob.
How does this... Why doesn't the stop button work?